city is rendered with precision and believability. When Stewart describes the new impediment at the corner of 42nd and 5th Avenue, the city's first traffic tower, a reader can see the snarl of horse-drawn wagons, bicycles, pedestrians, and oh, so many automobiles, machines in the argot of the 20s, clogging the street. Even the Babe had to stop for that. The book is full of such knowing details, like the Thomas splint, an invention of World War I medicine that saves Jamie Fraser's daughter from losing her leg. Larger-than-life Ruth is made palpable through a mosaic of small but unassailable images. Ruth, resplendent in a red satin dressing gown worn over a pair of green and white diamond pajamas, earns a low whistle from Cook when he is admitted to the Babe's sumptuous apartment in the Ansonia Hotel. It earns something more important from the reader, a belief in narrative plausibility and in the characters that inhabit it. So, when Stewart writes of the Babe that getting angry at him was a waste of time, like losing your temper at a thunderstorm, you know he knows what he's talking about. The book is grand, just like the Babe. Jane Levy is the author of The Big Fella, Babe Ruth and the World He Created. 1. Eliza clutched the door handle as the big Packard swerved down the snaky Riverside Road. Her free hand held her head on. "For the love of Mike," she yelled into the wind. "Slow down." Despite her shout, the grin stayed on the Babe's broad face. He kept the throttle wide open. "She sure can fly," he called back, blue eyes locked on the road. "Going slow would be a crime." Then he oversteered on a wide curve. The Packard tilted up on its right tires, a movement that brought Eliza's stomach up too. The car launched into the roadside ditch, slamming into the far bank. Eliza's scream cut off when she slammed against the door, then lifted up. Her hip scraped painfully over the windshield, and she tumbled awkwardly onto the car's long snout. She landed hard on a shoulder on the lip of the ditch. Her splayed hands partly broke her fall. Quiet fell. The engine had quit. Eliza lay still and panted, her heart racing, pain starting to replace terror. Moving her arms gingerly, she started an inventory. Her arms worked, then her head. It was clear, though it felt jagged inside and oddly remote from the scene. She pushed herself onto her side. The hip. Jesus, it hurt like blazes. She sat up. She flexed her right leg, then moved her right arm and shoulder. That hurt. She decided not to move anymore for a while. Could have been worse. Probably should have been. She had known it was dangerous to climb in with the Babe for the ride to the Hudson River Ferry. It wasn't only his love for speed, though there was certainly that. It was also that he was a lousy driver, which didn't make a lot of sense. Great athletes should be great drivers. The magical coordination and timing that allowed him to hammer home runs over distant fences should mean he piloted cars with precision and skill. But it didn't. Since they'd started filming Babe's movie that summer, he had averaged a crash every few days. He got pulled over for speeding sometimes, but never got tickets. He just smiled, signed autographs for the cops, and moved on. Eliza heard him groan. A car door opened and slammed shut. Uneven steps approached. "You okay?" he asked, his voice gravelly. He hawked and spat to the side. She tilted her head so she could look all the way up at him. She was used to large men. Her husband Jamie was as tall as Babe. But no one gave off a sense of power like Babe did. "I suppose," she said. She winced. Her shoulder and hip weren't good, but they weren't bad enough to talk about. She didn't ask how he was. He always walked away from his wrecks. She was tempted to ask why. Why drive so fast on a twisty road like New York's notorious Route 3? But there was no point. The Babe did what the Babe did. Getting angry was a waste of time, like losing your temper at a thunderstorm. He helped her to her feet. A shooting pain suggested something could be wrong with the